Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today, we're continuing our series called The Habits of Happiness. In this series, Rick dives into the book of Philippians and helps you discover God's path to true and lasting happiness. Let's get right to it with part one of a message called The Humble Path to Happiness.
Today, we're in part three of a series, The Habits of Happiness. And we're going verse by verse through the book of Philippians. If you were to go out on the patio, or if you were to go out to some mall and ask people, what do you think is the path to happiness? Most people would probably say something like this: get an education, get a job, get married, have a family, make a lot of money, retire. That's the path to happiness. But I know a lot of people who've done all those things and they're not happy at all. The Bible says that the path to happiness is something you're never in your wildest idea going to imagine. The path to happiness is through humility. You say, what? How in the world would humility make me happy? There are many, many reasons why humility is the key that unlocks true happiness, and why pride is the thing that guarantees unhappiness in your life. And I could give you many different reasons, but let me just give you one, and we're going to focus on it this weekend. One of the greatest killjoys in life, one of the greatest causes of unhappiness, is conflict. Everybody agree with that? Conflict. You could have a lot of money, you could be famous, you could be successful, but if you have conflict in your relationships, your life is unhappy. Everything can be going great in your life, and you have an argument with somebody you love, and all of a sudden, that happiness just flies out the window. If you're ever going to learn to be happy on a long-term basis, you're going to learn how to eliminate conflict in your life. And that's where humility comes in. The Bible tells us that the habit of humility is the key to reducing conflict in your life, because pride is the thing that causes conflict. On your outline, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, pride always leads to arguments. How many of you agree with that verse? Yeah. You know, there's this little background in this verse. This was the first verse Kay and I memorized when we got married 38 years ago. We actually memorized it on our honeymoon because we needed it on our honeymoon. Because my wife and I are so different, we argued about everything. We just see everything so differently. And so the first verse we learned was, only by pride comes contention, or in the modern translation, pride always leads to arguments. Now in this passage that we're going to look at this weekend, Philippians 2, 1 to 11, we have the greatest explanation ever written on planet Earth about the relationship between humility and harmony and happiness. And this passage tells us, first, it says in the first couple of verses that harmony creates happiness, and that happiness comes from harmony. And then we learn in the next few verses that humility creates harmony. And in the last verses, it talks about how Jesus modeled both. I'm going to read you the passage right now, and why don't you listen to see if you can pick up these themes: the four kinds of harmony, the four keys of humility, and the three examples of Jesus. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 2. Does your life in Christ give you strength? Does his love comfort you? Do we share together in his spirit? Do you have mercy and kindness? If so, make me very happy. Remember, he's talking about the habits of happiness, the habits of joy. If so, make me very happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, having one mind, and being of one purpose. When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Don't be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. In your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. Now, Christ himself was like God in everything, but he did not think that being equal with God was something to be demanded. Instead, he gave up his place with God, and he made himself nothing. And he was born to be a human being and became a servant. And while he was living on earth as a man, he humbled himself and became fully obedient to God the Father, even when it caused his death, the death on the cross. So, then God raised him up to the highest place, and God made him his name greater than every other name, so that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And one day, everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and bring glory to the Father. Now, this is a very, very powerful passage. And it talks about how humility leads to harmony and harmony leads to happiness. First, Paul says that God's model for relationships, God's model for your friendships, for your marriage, and any other relationship is four kinds of harmony. It's there on your outline in verse 2. Paul says, you will make my joy complete. In other words, you will create happiness. You will make me happy. You'll make yourself happy. You'll make my joy complete by having the same mind, sharing the same love, being united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. These are the four kinds of intimacy God wants you to have in your marriage. The four kinds of unity, the four kinds of harmony God wants you to have in every true relationship. He says, I want you to have the same mind. That's mental harmony. You know, you're united in thinking. He said, I want you to share the same love. That's emotional harmony. He said, I want you to be united in spirit. That's spiritual harmony. And he says, I want you to be intent on one purpose. That's directional harmony. We're headed in the same direction together. Can you imagine having a marriage like that? You say, well, yeah, that'd be great. Why don't we have it? Because we don't do the things God tells us to do. And in the next few verses, Paul explains that humility is the path to harmony and harmony is the path to happiness. Now, I don't know if you're going through conflict right now, but everybody's had conflict in relationships in their lives. And if you've ever gotten tired of the conflict, you say, I'm just tired of always being in conflict. You picked a good weekend to come to church. Because we're going to look at how to reduce conflict with others. This is how to have more harmony and how to have more happiness in your relationships. And I want to say this. This is guaranteed to work. This absolutely will reduce the conflict in your life and will increase the happiness and harmony in your life if you'll do it. But I need to give you three warnings. First place is that what I'm going to teach you this weekend is 100% radically counterculture. It's the exact opposite of everything you've been taught in your life. Our culture teaches the exact opposite of what the Bible says about relationships. Now, there aren't that many really successful relationships out in the world, are there? I mean, when I say, give me five really strong marriages, you'd have a hard time doing that. The kind of marriages that have mental, emotional, spiritual, and directional harmony. Most people aren't very good at relationships in the world. Why? Because we don't follow what God tells us to do. And what God tells us to do is the exact opposite of what our culture tells us to do. Second reason I need to warn you is because this, what I'm going to teach you to do, isn't natural. It doesn't feel like the right thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. Because we naturally want to indulge ourselves, and God says, no, that's the wrong way. And third is if I teach you this, I know for a fact that this week you will be tested in it. So I'm just warning you, get ready. You're going to have some conflict in relationships this week, okay? Because God is going to give you an opportunity to practice these four habits of humble happiness. Now, the first of the four habits for reducing conflict in your life, Paul says, is this. You might write it down. Never let my pride be my guide. And no matter what the relationship is, I should never let my pride be my guide. Why? Because the pride is the root of every other sin. I don't know if you know that. Pride is the root of every other sin. Pride is the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. Every conflict that you go through has an element of pride mixed into it. What is the middle letter of the word pride in English? I. What's the middle letter of the word crime? Yeah. What's the middle letter of the word sin? I. You have an eye problem. I want what I want, and I want it now, and that causes all kinds of problems. Never let pride be my guide. Now, again, this is counterculture, because in today, in our society, in modern culture, we reward narcissism. We do. The most arrogant athletes, the most arrogant celebrities, the most self-centered entertainers are the ones we pay the most money to and pay the most attention to. It's the way our society works today. So this is totally counterculture, because today the people with the biggest egos get the biggest money and they get the most press. Now the Bible says this in Philippians 2:3, don't do anything from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Circle the word anything. Don't do anything. Do you realize how hard it is to keep that verse? Don't do anything from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, Paul says that there are two conflict-creating kinds of pride. One of them is selfish ambition, and one is vain conceit. Let me explain them a different way. Selfish ambition is saying, it's all about me. And vain conceit means I'm always right. So when you have those two attitudes, it's all about me and I'm always right, you have selfish ambition and vain conceit. Selfish ambition says, it's all about my needs. It's all about my wants. It's all about my fears. It's all about my success. It's all about my career. We know people who've walked out of marriages because the marriage was standing in the way of their career. We know that sometimes boyfriends choose girlfriends simply because of the image it gives them. They don't really care about them. They're eye candy. Or girlfriends choose boyfriends because it's all about the image. It's not about the relationship. It's all about me. And they're not really caring about the relationship. They're caring about themselves. The Bible says that selfish ambition causes all kinds of problems. In James 3:16, it says this, wherever there's jealousy or selfish ambition, you'll find, circle this, confusion and every other kind of evil. When you find confusion at your workplace, confusion in the office, you can know that selfish ambition and jealousy are causing it. When you find confusion in your home, you can know that selfishness is causing that. This causes confusion everywhere. It causes it in marriages, it causes it in politics, it causes it in church, it causes it in homeowners associations, it causes us in the shutdown of governments. If you won't play ball with me the way I want to play ball, I'll take my ball and go home. It's all about me. Selfish ambition. And then vain conceit is that attitude of I'm always right. And I'm always right, and you're always wrong. That's vain conceit. Now, I love the Living Bible version of this verse there on your outline. It says, don't live to make a good impression on others. And the Today's English version says, don't do anything from a cheap desire to boast. That would be a good verse to look at before you post on Instagram again, or Facebook, or any other social media. I read an article a while back by Shauna, Bill Hybels' daughter, which she said, it was a great article called Stop Tweeting Your Perfect Life. Because it is a great temptation on the internet to make yourself look better than you are, to appear better than you are. And we don't just do that on the internet, but we do it in lots of different areas. Never let my pride be my guide. Don't give in to vain conceit, I'm always right, or to selfish ambition. It's always about me. It's about my needs. The husband who says, I don't care about my wife's needs, it's my needs. I don't care about my kids' needs, it's my needs. That's called selfish ambition. Now in Galatians, another book that Paul wrote, Paul lists about 17 effects of living with pride. He calls it the works of the flesh. He says, when we live this self-centered, this self-concerned, this self-indulgent life, he said it shows up in all kinds of ways. And he starts off by saying things like, self-indulgence shows up in sexual immorality and wild partying and getting drunk and all of, you would expect those things. But most of the things on the list are actually the sins that we have to deal with, relational sins. Let me read them to you. Galatians 5:19, 20, 21. says this, our self-indulgent nature, in other words, my natural desire to think of me and not about you, to think I'm number one and not worry about what you think, our self-indulgent nature shows itself in conflict, check that one, quarreling, check that one, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. It shows up in causing divisions among people and the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your little own group. You know anybody like that? That's because they let their pride be their guide. Paul says, if you're going to have happiness, you got to have harmony. And if you're going to have harmony, you got to have humility. And so never let pride be your guide. Now, the second habit is the flip side of it. It's just another way of saying the same thing, but it's this. Write it down. Be humble or I'll stumble. I must be humble or I'll stumble. If I'm not humble, my relationship will crumble. Humility is the basis and foundation of every great marriage and every great friendship. Because in humility, you don't act like you know it all. And you treat each other with respect. And you give each other more honor. And you don't go 50-50. Marriage is not a 50-50. It's 110-110. You give 110 and your spouse gives 110. And you try to outdo each other in honor. Philippians 2, verse 3, the next verse says this. It says, instead of, don't do anything from selfish ambition or vain conceit. It says, instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Now again, that's the opposite of what our culture teaches. Our culture teaches, I gotta do what's best for me. I gotta look out for number one. I gotta think about me. I've gotta live for myself. I've gotta do what makes me happy. If it feels good, do it. And all these selfish, self-centered, narcissistic rules that we've been taught throughout life. And Paul comes along and says, no, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Now circle the word humble. Because humility is probably the most misunderstood quality that we need in life. A lot of people think humility means going around saying, oh, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm a zero, I'm a cipher, I'm zip, I can't do anything. No, that's not humility, that's false humility. That's just degrading yourself. No, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. You hear the difference? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. I'm no good. I'm not. That's not humility. That's false humility. Humility is you just don't think about yourself. You think about other people. The more you think about other people, the more humble you are. If you walk into this room and you think, what does everybody else think about me? How do I look? You're being prideful. If you walk into this room and you think, how could I help the people in this room? You're being humble. The focus isn't on you. The focus is on the other people. Humility has nothing to do with what you think of yourself. Humility is what you think about other people. In other words, humility is not putting myself down. Humility is building other people up. Humble people build other people up. Great people make people feel great. Little people belittle people. Now, the Bible says, instead, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. In other words, humility is not devaluing me, it's valuing others more. Let me say another way of saying it. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. We're all a bundle of strengths and weaknesses. You have some great strengths. You do. And you have some great weaknesses. And humility is being honest about both. I'm good at this, and I'm not good at that. I'm strong in this, I'm really weak in this. I have some really great strengths, and I have some enormous weaknesses. Just ask my staff, ask my family, ask me, I'll tell you, because I'm not trying to hide them. And humility is simply being honest about both. The Bible says, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Now, why should I be humble? Because God makes more promises in the Bible about humility than anything else except generosity. Let me give you a few things God promises to do if you live a humble life. If you live dependent upon Him, if you think about others instead of thinking about yourself. God says, I will give you my presence. I will give you my power. I will give you my peace. I will make you prosperous. I will make you successful, and I will give you great honor. The very thing everybody wants in life, God says, comes not through pride, not through bragging, not through boasting, not through pretending you're something you're not, not through posing and being a poser. It comes through humility. And God says, I bless the humble person. In fact, in James 4:6, there in your outline, it says this: God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, notice the good and the bad, the carrot and the stick. God opposes the proud. Circle opposes. You know what the Bible says? God hates pride. Does God hate anything? Oh, yeah. There are some things God hates. And one of the things God hates is ego, arrogance, pride, conceit, self-centeredness, self-promotion. God hates pride. And he says, God opposes that proud. That means anytime I am acting or saying something or thinking in a prideful way, an arrogant, a conceited way, I am on the opposite side of God. I may even have the right cause, but if I'm presenting it in a prideful way, God says, you're wrong. Whoa. You may have all the right politics figured out, but if you're prideful and arrogant about it, guess what? You're wrong. You're on the opposite side of God. God doesn't just say, oh, it's okay, we'll let you get away with a little bit of pride. God says, I hate it and I oppose it. And every time I'm prideful and every time you're prideful, I'm on the opposite side of God. I'm in a battle with God and I'm going to lose that battle because your arms and my arms are too short to box with God. That's the negative side. The positive side, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's grace? Grace is the ability to forgive when I don't feel like forgiving. Grace is the ability to resolve a conflict with my husband or my wife when I don't feel like it. Grace is the ability to compromise. Grace is the ability to get along. Grace is the ability to build a strong relationship when everything wants to tear your marriage, your friendship, whatever, that relationship apart. You need grace. The only way your relationships will last is with God's grace. And the only way you get God's grace is by being humble. So, I must never let my pride be my guide, and I must be humble or I will stumble and my relationships will crumble. Man, I'm a poet this weekend. Number three, here's the third habit for overcoming conflict. This one sounds easy, but we don't do it. Learn the lost art of paying attention. If you want to have a happy life, you're going to have happy relationships. And in order to have happy relationships, you got to have humility in the middle of them. And part of that is learning the lost art of paying attention. We pay attention to screens more than we pay attention to people. I mean, you walk into a meeting, and how many people are sitting there looking at their phone texting? They're not paying attention to the people. They're paying attention to the screen. Or, you know, your head's always down in a video game. You know, looking in the video game. Or you're walking across a campus or taking a lunch break, and you got earbuds and you're listening to your iPod. There's no way you can pay attention to the people around you. Somebody could be dying and in deep pain, and you're in your own little self-centered world. I've closed out everybody else, and I'm in this. I was in New York City a few weeks back, and I walked down. I swear, everybody on the street was listening to something else. And I'm going, so I could stand here and yell, you know, fire, and nobody'd even know it. Because our technology has made us to no longer pay attention to people. In other words, you're sitting here with two friends, and you're tweeting to 25. And then you're really worried about, is anybody retweeting it? Or is anybody liking my post? And what's that saying? It's all about me. Social media can feed your narcissism, can feed your pride if you let it. And you get distracted from seeing the people around you.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, did you know that most people look for happiness in all the wrong places? You won't find it through money, fame, or power. You'll only find real, lasting happiness by following God's commands. And that's why Rick created the Habits of Happiness Bible Study. You'll discover how happiness runs deeper than any circumstance, feeling, or relationship because of God's unconditional love for you. This interactive, full-color, hardcover book is filled with biblical truths, scripture, practical lessons, application exercises, and prayers to guide your journey. It's a comprehensive study tool that will help you experience the biblical habits that lead to true and lasting happiness. This Bible study is only available on Daily Hope, and quantities are limited. So be sure to request the Habits of Happiness Bible Study today when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world. It's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.